broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Excuse me. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans, Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby, live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is indeed the broadcast for August the 18th in the year of our Lord, 2016. This is hour one of two. Our goal, incredibly steady as a rock, that is to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. It's incredibly simple. We use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. We're also convinced the checks and balances put in place by our founding fathers absolutely brilliant and the solution to the problems we face today. That's why we don't need a revolution, but a restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth, no doubt, is in order. This half hour is brought to you in part by thepowermall.com. Please do business with the good guys today. 877-817-9829. Also brought to you by GiveMeLibertyFund.com. When you want to do business with the good guys and you want a win-win-win situation, please think thepowermall.com and GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Two incredible sponsor websites for your, patriotic involvement? All right, that may be the best way to put it. There was so much news yesterday, it was a startling how much we covered on the broadcast. Let me try to recap. The recap starts now. We talked about Donald Trump and shakeup. Hires Breitbart executive for top campaign post, New York Times. Stephen Bannon is his name. He's the executive chairman of Breitbart, Breitbart News LLC, if you will. He will become the Republican campaign's chief executive for Donald Trump. Kellyanne Conway, a senior advisor and well-known veteran pollster, she's the campaign manager now. So two new incredible hires. Paul Manafort, the campaign chairman, he will retain his title, but many people are kind of saying it's a demotion. And both Miss Conway and Mr. Bannon are close with, Robert and Rebecca Mercer. Those are big campaign donors. They become allies of the candidate, and they have a super PAC that's working against Hillary Clinton. So now you got big money, and you got two top-tier people. One of Breitbart News. If that's not an endorsement of the new media taking center stage, I don't know what is. The mainstream press does not know what to do with themselves over this. Now, we also talked about MarieClaire.com, meet Hope Hicks. That's Donald Trump's communication director. We haven't heard a word from Hope since the shakeup. Now, I submit that Hope is Donald's young communications darling, is the way I'm going to put it. She's 27 years old. She was a model. Very good at what she does. She's got to get credit. She's made very few mistakes. And anyway, we have a lot of hope that Hope Hicks stays in the campaign in some way. In my opinion, she has done a stellar job. But I'm sure that she will be somehow turning up somewhere in Trump circles. Now, Hope is supposed to call me back. I'm waiting for her phone call. Left her a voicemail. We also talked about ousted News Fox star Roger Ailes is supposed to be advising Donald Trump ahead of the debates. Or not. That's the big debate. CNBC and others with the debate, both sides of the mainstream press saying, yes, he's going to be supporting Roger Ailes is going to be helping Donald. And then, no, we don't need Roger Ailes at all. Maybe Roger Stone, but not Ailes. Going on. So time will tell. We'll keep an eye on that ball just for you. Trump slated, or I guess yesterday, I should say, he received his first classified intelligence briefing. I guess it was in Manhattan, an FBI office there. He got his first high clearance security briefing. By the way, since 1952, major party presidential candidates and their running mates have typically received classified security briefings after clinching their respective nominations. Maybe we should quit doing that. If we've been doing it since 52, things have been going south ever since, haven't they? Just pondering. Trump assembles, quote, a team on agriculture policy or ag policy. A lot of insiders. They say it's six times bigger than what Mitt Romney had back in the day. Donald Trump also holds town hall in downtown Milwaukee. And anyway, Trump said that Hillary is a bigot who panders and talks down to communities of color. Donald taking off the gloves, at least some would believe. I believe he's taking off the gloves, but only within controlled, allowable bounds. And I've articulated on this broadcast many times exactly where I think that Donald could take off the gloves and get serious, but he won't. He's doing a lot of interesting things, I'll grant that, but he's not really taking off the gloves. He's not really blowing up the machine. Baltimore police lieutenant, the guy's name is Victor Gearhart, he got fired. He's a 33-year veteran of the police department down there in Baltimore. He called the Black Lives Matter protesters thugs. Well, he's dead on right, but they fired him over it. Where's the Donald to stand up for Victor, huh? Representative Carlos Cordello, he's a Republican of Florida. He says Trump's intentionally losing to hand Hillary the victory. Many people have speculated that. Some of the mistakes Donald's made might make you believe that. Hard to tell. A lot of people believe Donald will be president. An app maker says, his research says, Donald will win. Kirk Crosby, James Edwards, others think Donald will win in a landslide. I hope there's truth to that, but it's so hard to underestimate the corruption of Hillary Clinton. The financial machine tied to corruption has become a secret combination above the people, that's for sure. And whether the mainstream press can protect Hillary enough, time will tell. The new media is taking center stage. Will they be able to shut down the gatekeeping of the mainstream press? Time will tell. We shall keep an eye on the ball. Man, we're not even done with the news yet, folks. We talked about Taylor Swift doing a great job. She's donating $1 million to Louisiana flood relief after the torrential rains caused nothing but havoc down there. It killed at least 11 people already, but Taylor Swift doing a great job. Louisiana, she says, graciously welcomed me when I kicked off my 1989 tour, and I'm just giving back. So not only is she donating $1 million, leading by example, but she is encouraging others to do the same. And this is exactly what I like to see. Taylor Swift is only 26 years old, but she obviously already, to some degree, gets it. She doesn't rely on government. She's not begging somebody else to do something. She's flat out saying, look, here's what I'm personally doing. I'm putting $1 million in. And I would like other people to do the same. And if we put together private sector, charities and individuals, and what if Taylor Swift said, and I'm going to put in a second $1 million if the public matches me? What if she went on one of these, social fundraising sites and said, not only will I put in $1 million of my own dollars, but I'll match every dollar that we can raise. She might have $1 million put in. She'd put in a second million. Instantly, you have $3 million. Then you could go to the Donald and say, Donald, will you do the same? You could literally, through charitable organizations, raise enough money to help Louisiana and not even depend on government at all. Wouldn't it be something? You could have churches and charitable organizations and individuals getting involved. And we could say, this is how it's done. Anyway, good job, Taylor. That's hour one. Hour two, we had our guest on, Mr. James Edwards. He's well known as the author of the book called Racism, Schmacism. He's also a well-known talk show host in his own right, syndicated by Liberty News Radio. Every Saturday night, his award-winning broadcast, The Political Cesspool, takes to the airwaves. By the way, in his time slot, James' show absolutely rocks. Oh, yeah. Number four in the nation on some of the top radio news sites. It's incredible. Joe Biden just captured Hillary Clinton in the weirdest, longest, strangest, whacked out Uncle Joe hug you ever saw. Let me go, Joe. Joe, let go. I'm serious. He held on to Hillary on the tarmac for like 15 seconds everybody, freak, creepy Uncle Joe lived up to his, what, reputation? All right. Ford Motor Company says, hey, within 5 years, by 2021, they're going to have a fully driverless vehicle. No steering wheel, no pedals, nothing. I think they might have the technology to make that happen, but I don't think it'll be real, at least for you and I. They say it'll be ride services and automated tasks first. It'll be coming to you and I later. 75% of the world's most popular websites, by the way, spy, track users, says USA Today. Also, healthcare costs are rising in 2017. Big time. It's a huge blow to Obamacare. More in seconds. Liberty Roundtable, live.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads, a divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
If you're at all like me, you have a tough time remembering appointments and events. But ladies and gentlemen, I have the answer. It's a premier service on the internet called Memo to Me. It's free. You ought to try it. Now I never miss the honey-do items from my wife or the important business meetings. They have strict privacy protection. That means they will release your email address to no one ever. You will not get spam because of Memo to Me. Unmatched dependability. Ladies and gentlemen, these folks have been around since 1998, and they are absolutely up online all the time to send you your reminders and appointments. They have rock-solid reliability. They have 5 redundant internet connections, diesel-powered generators backing up the system. I'm telling you, Memo to Me is the premier reminder service on the internet. It's free. You ought to give it a try. And, oh, by the way, if you're not available at your computer to get your email reminders, they can even send a reminder to your cell phone or pager. I use MemoToMe.com daily and highly recommend it to you. MemoToMe.com. Memo to Me.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, live on your radio, Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby. This half hour is brought to you by Raw Honey. How would you like incredible taste and honey delivered directly to your door? Get a hold of Kurt to learn more at 801-669-2211. Smile and dial 801-669-2211 or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com. We're still in the middle of the recap from yesterday's news day. We had so much news, it's just shocking. Healthcare costs to rise big time. That's a huge blow to Obamacare. Aetna left in many, 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 many markets. Aetna's decision to leave the Affordable Care Act exchange Well, they say, well, had to do it. We're losing money. Their decision follows a lot of big and small companies doing the same thing. They say what happens is all the sick people are signing up for health care. The healthy people aren't. There's a disparity, and everybody's losing money doing it. Yeah. They said heavy losses are the reason for the move. The Obama administration doesn't know what to do, but they're saying, don't worry, health care is phenomenal. Okay. The Donald would get rid of it. Hillary would keep it. You see a contrast? The Obama administration also on Tuesday issued aggressive new emissions standards. The rules are requiring heavy-duty trucks to reduce emissions over the next several years by 25%. Of course, the Republicans, not a single peep. They're not challenging Barack on anything, folks. The lame duck president's just going crazy. By the way, the Navajo Nation's ticked off at the federal government as well. They filed a lawsuit against the Environmental Protection Agency saying that poison water that flowed from a punctured Colorado mine flew into the river or flooded into the river and is causing nothing but trouble, making everybody sick. And anyway, the government's getting sued, so you and I as taxpayers are going to bail that out. While the Environmental Protection Agency or the EPA runs around and messes with your business and regulations just absolutely cause you nothing but havoc, the government's running around poisoning rivers and not doing a good job at all. Anyway, several corporations snared in that lawsuit as well. Trump rallies white crowd in Wisconsin, backing the police, says the New York Times. Now, first off, why wouldn't you appropriately defend the police officer? Now, I get it that there's mistakes within the police departments. I get it. And there's wrongdoing that needs to be stopped. And this ultimate we cover up for the cops all the time has got to stop. No doubt about it. But ladies and gentlemen, as a whole, we need our police officers. Let's be very clear. And without it, some of these inner cities would be absolute third world war zones. Let's be very clear about that. So anyway, they say Trump rallies white crowd in Wisconsin. That's just another way, again, they try to manipulate everybody to believe that Donald's a racist. It's a lie. When I went to the Republican National Convention, I literally asked dozens of people if they thought Donald was a racist. And even one of the Univision LA chiefs said, no, Donald's not a racist. There were several people of different races, black and Italian and all kinds of races and ethnic backgrounds that said Donald's not a racist. Look at how many people he's worked with in New York City over the years. Come on. You can make a claim, but it doesn't stick when you find out what Donald's really done. Anyway, so they're trying to promote the white crowd there. What about all the blacks in the audience? Did they talk about that? Or the Hispanics? They didn't speak a word about that, did they? But they exist. Trust you me. We also talked about five quotes that prove that Milwaukee, Wisconsin's Sheriff David A. Clark Jr. is a bad A, they say. They talk about all kinds of cool things David Clark's doing to challenge the Black Lives narrative, to challenge the rioters and say, folks, get a clue. We got to have dad at home. We got to have people with educations. We got to have family life. We got to be responsible and self-governed. It's a horrible culture crisis going on. Not the cops that are the problem. And boy, is that spot on. We also talked about the Navy's out of control. It's naming a ship after the Jewish gay rights leader, Harvey Milk. I kid you not. They got a naval ship called Harvey Milk now. And these people are crazy. We also talked about Univision wins big, buying the bankrupt Gawker Media, literally $135 million. I guess they beat Ziff Davis to the mix, and, you know, all I can tell you is who wants Univision or Gawker, but weird stuff going on. I wonder now that they have Gawker if they're going to be covering Trump a lot more or what. You think Gawker will help Univision be a little more favorable towards the Donald? Just wondering. All right, that's a recap of the hard-hitting news the networks refused to use for yesterday. The broadcast is still available on demand at your fingertips. Look on your Roku player for the Liberty News Radio channel or simply smile and go to libertyroundtable.com. You want incredible talk shows in addition to Liberty Roundtable that we well associate with? libertynewsradio.com. You want incredible news the networks refused to use? One of the premier news services in the country? LibertyNewsDaily.com. Click on donate to support us on any of those platforms. Would be absolutely appreciative. Kirk Crosby's with me. Welcome to the broadcast, my friend.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
All right. They said that the high tech was going to save us back in the day when Ross Perot said there was going to be a sucking sound of jobs leaving America over NAFTA and GATT, Kurt.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what, 92? When was Ross Perot in there? 96?
I think that's right. Yeah, 92, I think.
92. All right. So 102, 112, like 25 years later almost, right?
Yes.
And the headline says Cisco to cut 5,500 jobs. It's up to 7% of their workforce. And I guess they're going to have to post charges of it to about $400 million for one quarter, Kurt. And I guess it's all because they aren't doing too well with the disruptive cloud technology going on. Everything's in the cloud now. Everything's remotely administered and everything. And so they're not able to sell enough hardware. So they're moving to software, Kurt.
Okay.
Yeah. And right. They say that's going to save them. Kurt, these companies are all overwhelmed with disruptive technology. They're all bloated to the gills with employees. And we're seeing nothing but a remaking of society and industry and employment based on this disruptive technology reality that we face. And you know what? There's no way to prevent it. It'll do nothing but continue, Kurt. Write it down. Remember who told you. You can expect more and more and more of this. But 5,500 Cisco jobs, these are not low-paying jobs, Kurt. These are not, you know, uneducated folks getting the pink slip on this one. This is big time. You're talking about 5,500-plus families. That's a lot of people that it relates to, Kurt. Anyway, there you have it.
That's a great point.
Any comments on this, Kurt?
Well, you know, I mean, we would recommend, you know, honest money being returned to the system. How to fix this kind of problem, return to the constitutionally sound money that we should have, return to the tariffs of the old days where we protect the industries we have and we don't allow foreign countries to just, you know, basically take over whole sectors by, subsidizing their industries and taking over our things, whether it's steel or whatever it is. There's a way to a sound economy, and of course we suggest a return to the Ten Commandments and God's laws, that kind of thing. I mean, it's just pretty basic, right?
Absolutely. There's a few factors left out in the story that I wanted to touch upon just for your economic education, since I'm so economically savvy. What I'm telling you is I don't have a degree. They would claim that I know nothing and that I should be summarily dismissed. But I would suggest quite the contrary. And the reason that I would is simple. And I have to wait till after the pause, because that's what they tell me to do in radio, to tell you why and how and what and who and where and when and all those phenomenal details that the mainstream press just simply never can get right. With all their degrees, with all their finances, with all their flash and, you know, pomp. That's the best word to describe it. All their pomp. They can't get to these simple things that I'll tell you right in seconds all about.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
This hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Former New York City Mayor Rudolph Giuliani, a key advisor to Donald Trump and likely nominee for either Attorney General or Homeland Security Director if Trump is elected, either forgot about the most significant day of his public life or chose to ignore it when he introduced Vice Presidential nominee Mike Pence before Trump's August 15th speech in Youngstown, Ohio. Referring to the George W. Bush administration, Giuliani declared, quote, "By the way, under those 8 years before Obama came along, we didn't have any successful radical Islamic terrorist attack in the United States. They all started when Clinton and Obama got into office." Apparently forgetting where he was, Giuliani also incorrectly identified Pence, the incumbent governor of Indiana, as the governor of Ohio, telling the crowd that, "You know better than I do what a great governor he is of your state, what he has done for your state, and how he's improved it, and helped it and left it in tremendous condition. Without specifically mentioning Giuliani's apparent lapse, Pence went on to praise the former New York City mayor for his supposed heroism on the morning of the September 11th attacks, which of course happened roughly 8 months into the first term of George W. Bush, following multiple explicit warnings of the event. Giuliani's omission of that date was made even stranger by the fact, memorably summarized in an uncharacteristic moment of lucid wit by Joe Biden, that, quote, "There's only three things he mentions in a sentence, a noun, a verb, and 9/11. Giuliani's statement in Ohio prompted commentator Matt Iglesias to ask if he had become a 9/11 truther. For commentary and insights on a troubled world, visit Joel Skousen's worldaffairsbrief.com. If you want a win-win-win opportunity for patriots, think givemelibertyfund.com. For libertynewsdaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
From the days of the Romans, there have been legends of a fountain of youth, and now science has found a real answer to slowing the aging process. I'm Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and it's so exciting to know that Time Challenger has capitalized on decades worth of international scientific studies to bring you the most powerful mitochondrial DNA supplement on the market today. Mitochondrial DNA is the power plant of human cells, but as we age, we lose more and more of this precious material. Time Challenger promotes healing and gives cells the power to do their work. Mental cognition may be enhanced, skin refreshed, blood pressure normalized, and signs of aging might be reduced. Time Challenger can also provide enhanced recovery for athletes. Time Challenger, the first step to slow the effects of aging on your body. To learn more, call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. Time Challenger just might be your fountain of youth.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
We're talking about disruptive technologies and the high-tech company Cisco laying off 5,500 workers, 7% of their workforce, taking a charge-off of $400 million, and I'm predicting, Sam Bushman predicts, this will nothing but accelerate in the booming disruptive economy that we face. It's booming in a different way than you might think. It's blowing up in our face, folks. What are we going to do about it? What's the change? Kirk Crosby brought up a lot of sound realities. Turn back to God's laws with the Ten Commandments. Turn back to the supreme law with the Constitution. Return to honest money. Those are phenomenal opportunities without a doubt. Donald Trump's plan to repatriate a lot of our money that's sitting overseas right now being, quote, held hostage by belligerent, out-of-control tax burdens generated by both sides of the aisle over the decades, no doubt about it, ratcheted up, reducing regulations, all those things are big keys. But understand that this disruptive technology really is hitting big business the hardest, Kurt, by far. And the reason why is big business is slow. Big business is not agile. Big business is not really even innovative, hardly ever. I'm not going to say there's not an exception to the rule, but look, it's always small business. It's always the scrappy guy. It's always the underdog that seems to somehow want to build a better mousetrap because that's the only gig in town for them, right? And as a result, what do they say? Necessity is the mother of invention. I know it's a little cliche, but think about it for a minute. All the latest innovations have been done by tiny companies, agile people that are startups that change the game, that disrupt technology, that build a better mousetrap. And as a result, these big companies, instead of trying to compete and do well, all they do is wait for somebody to do something phenomenal, then they try to just buy it up. And then sadly, instead of doing something innovative with it, they usually just ruin it. Anyway, I bring all that up because I think it's relevant here today. Let me give you an example. Kurt, you know who the Wright brothers are, right?
Yes, I know.
And you know that they're just a couple of guys that were not even, quote, that educated, right?
Well, yeah, Orville and Wilbur.
And you know that they were just kind of a bunch of rednecks that had a dream. They had a vision. Yep. There's a book, by the way, that articulates this quite well, this story that I'm going to tell you. It's called Start With Why. It's a business book. It's you know, only it's not really for the faint-hearted. You got to be willing to read and try to focus on, you know, business and stuff like that. But it's educational, to say the least. Anyway, the Wright brothers, though, had a dream. They didn't have a whole lot of money. They just had a kind of a ragtag band, Kurt, of people who believed in a cause. They believed in what they were doing, and they were absolutely hardcore passionate about getting it done. And they failed over and over and over and over. And a lot of times when they'd go out and they'd try their newest experiment, they'd bring two or three of everything, Kurt. And that way they said, that's how many tries we're going to have before we have to go home. We're going to be ready for the second try and the third try because we know we're going to fail, but we ultimately believe we'll succeed, okay? Now, I don't know if you know about this, but at the time there was a big old, like, professor, well-known, educated guy that was funded by your government that was going to try to fly too, Kurt. And instead of really focusing on flying, this guy was more interested in making a name for himself, becoming kind of a rock star. And so he put a bunch of money. He assembled the most highly educated team. He was funded with virtually, in the day, unlimited money, virtually speaking. Anyway, guess who got the gold, Kurt?
Well, Orville and Wilbur.
Roger that. So the bottom line is that the big guy with government money and unlimited resources literally failed. He wasn't focused on the why. He didn't have and share the belief, the vision that it took to get it done. He wanted to make more of a name for himself and et cetera.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He didn't have the, quote, passion
right.
that it takes. He had kind of misplaced allegiances, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I digress in the discussion except to tell you that that's what I'm talking about when it comes to big business. And if anybody says that I don't know what I'm talking about, good luck. I will slaughter you. Why? Not because I know what's going on, not because I'm important, not because I'm right, but because history is right. And there are great leaders that have absolutely documented solutions and ideas that work. And it doesn't lie in big business, big government, big everything. The founding fathers were scrappy. They all wanted to be entrepreneurs and farmers. It wasn't because there were a bunch of yahoo ignorance out there. It was because they understood that's where freedom comes from. And so I would submit to all these Cisco folks that are highly educated, don't be faint of heart. Don't go home and, pardon the pun, have a tear in your beard. Why don't you go home and find out how you can become one of the Wright brothers? Why don't you go home and say, how can I be innovative? How can I be disruptive? How can I change the game? And one of the fascinating things is Breitbart's kind of a new media startup, a lot like Liberty News Radio. But Breitbart, believe it or not, now is such a big news organization, the mainstream press doesn't know what to do with themselves, Kurt, to the point where even the presidential Republican nominee picked a Breitbart executive to help head up and right the ship for his campaign. If that doesn't tell you new media is taking center stage, I don't know what does. If that doesn't tell you that a scrappy guy, what was his name, Breitbart, Kurt, who's now passed away?
Yep.
But the scrappy guy started up a new news service. Now, you would at first say, why do we need a new news service? We've got Fox. They report. You decide. They're the conservative guys, supposedly. And then you got all these other CNN, Clinton News Network, and everybody else in between. Why on earth would we need a new news service, Kurt? And the answer is simple. Because we aren't getting the real news. We're getting the homogenized, manipulated, perverted, gatekeeping, control news that all the insiders that want to destroy America and take us to globalism desire. And Breitbart and others said, we're not doing that. Now, Breitbart, Kurt, I don't know if you know the history. He used to be a liberal. Did you know that?
No.
All right, now you do.
Yeah.
Thanks to Liberty News Radio. Thanks to Breitbart. Now, the New York Times don't even know what to do with these people, Kurt. Anyway, it's kind of interesting, but they didn't pick a media guy. Although you could say this guy's a media guy, but he's really a new media guy. Now, I bring all that up for a reason, Kurt. You say, what's the reason? Well, I'll tell you. I mean, I'm good at telling you, right? Donald Trump. Listen carefully to what I'm going to tell you. Donald Trump, according to research firm, it's called MediaQuant, Kurt. I don't know if you know that. But anyway, MediaQuant is a research firm, and they've done some research, and Donald Trump has received, listen carefully, the equivalent of $4.3 billion with a B, Kurt. $4.3 billion in media coverage over the last year. More than anybody else, bar none by far. I'm going to say this again for your for impact. Donald Trump, according to the research firm, MediaQuant, has received $4.3 billion in media coverage over the last year alone. Guess who's next, Kurt?
Would be Hillary.
Roger that, but she's not even close to the Donald. Can you guess how much she's received in coverage, Kurt?
Maybe half that. I don't know. What do you think?
Oh, you're so close. $2.6 billion.
Yeah.
So 4.3 to 2.6. It's a little more than half, but it's... I mean, you couldn't have guessed closer if you tried, I don't think.
Okay.
I mean, Kurt Crosby wins the can of popcorn. I'm telling you right now.
Okay.
But think about that, Kurt. That's six. Let me try to figure this out here. That's $6.9 billion in coverage.
Yep.
Donald got 4.3. Hillary got 2.6. Now, I understand that Hillary's spending a boatload of money on top of all that, Kurt.
That's right. And, you know, ladies and gentlemen, one of the things to consider here is think about it. If you literally want to buy, let's say, the front page of the newspaper, as far as I know, that's not even available. I mean, you literally can't buy the headline. Yeah, I mean, you could buy the paper itself and put it on there, but I'm talking about, you know, let's say you're talking about the Deseret News or USA Today. They won't replace their front page news, quote, news thing with your ad right in the middle of it. Simply because it would look a little bit too bought out.
Fish wrappy? You
know?
Okay.
Yeah, you know. And so what they do is they, see, the thing you got to remember is they cover so-called news or news that they think is important, but on the front page, if you put Donald Trump on the front page, like has been done many times, you know, typically because they're saying, oh, man, look what crazy thing he did here. Well, it promotes the guy, right, Sam? Right on the front page.
Oh, big time. Absolutely.
And you couldn't even buy that, you know. And so many of the other media pieces do that as well.
The Donald has received $4.3 billion in media coverage over the last year. Hillary at $2.6 billion. Just imagine if the candidates that I've endorsed, Mr. Darrell Castle, President, Scott Bradley,
right,
Vice President on the Constitution Party, got that kind of coverage. Where do you think they'd be in the polls, ladies and gentlemen?
Great point.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together.
Together.
Are you familiar with the term vigor? Strength in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example? Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kurt Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test, available now. Get a hold of Kurt Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test, free, scientifically proven today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. We digressed in our discussion slightly. I want to get back to this really quick, then we'll move on. Now, what is it going to take for this disruptive technology and reality to happen? I mentioned that we need to move back to all the things that Kurt and Donald say. But in addition to that, I submit to you that the scrappy guy wins. What we need is a lot of these people to become entrepreneurs. We need a lot of these people to reject the corporate, big business, globalist corporation world and downsize and become entrepreneurs. We need individuals to disrupt technology intentionally, to say, how can I build a better mousetrap? How can I make a difference? How can I become my own boss? And we need a lot more thinkers instead of saying, I'm going to grow up and become educated and work for the man. How can I become the man? And I don't know everything, but I'm just telling you that was the genius of the Founding Father era. And that is the genius of today. You go look at all the innovations that have taken place, and almost without exception, every time you'll see a small, scrappy company with a vision, with a hope, with a dream, with a passion, get it done. And then the big boys go, wow, that was incredible. We're going to buy that company and try to leapfrog ahead in technology. What the big companies, the corporate world doesn't understand is they can't continue the vision. I'll take an example. Skype was an incredible piece of software, but then, of course, got bought by Microsoft, and now it's like, man, who wants Skype? Now everybody's moving to Slack and other systems. Again, another startup that's scrappy that makes my point. I use a lot of tech world examples because that's where I'm at. I'm in the tech world for the most part for a living and otherwise. But nevertheless, all I'm telling you is that new media is taking center stage. Scrappy, innovative companies are getting it done. And what we need is less regulation, less taxes, so America can become the economic engine of the world that it once was. And that's where it starts. So folks that used to work for Cisco, you're brilliant. Don't decide to work for the man, become the man. And speaking of disruptive technologies, I told you that Ford's going to have a driverless vehicle within 5 years. But they claim it's even faster than that, Kurt.
Well, yeah, that's, you know, right now one of the big headlines on Drudge says Uber basically has got, you know, the cars on the way, you know. And, you know, it's a very good point, Sam.
Drudge had
it's
this piece?
Exactly. Yeah. Well, you know, that's basically, they point to it. But, it, you know, it was one of their big flash things.
But if people want to find Uber's, it, though, they go to Drudge, they'll get right to it.
Yeah, and Drudge basically is another example of disruptive technology.
Great
but,
point.
Uber's first self-driving fleet arrives in Pittsburgh this month. They say the autonomous cars launching this summer are custom Volvo XC90s supervised by humans in the driver's seat. You know, but the bottom line is, you know, with what if we didn't have Uber, you know, like you're talking about? What if we didn't have, you know, these
hold on, before it was all these taxi medallions that were big money and expensive, and nobody could even hardly afford to take a taxi except for the rich cats, and Uber flat out, Uber and Lyft and others flat out disrupted that technology. The taxi companies are all freaking out, begging the government to protect them and everything else. Wow. See what I mean? Yeah. If the taxi companies, Italians, and the big corporations in bed with big government were doing such a great job, what did we even need Uber and Lyft for? And the answer is a better mousetrap was built by people who had a vision, my friend.
Exactly.
And boy, is that vision in every city just a, what, click away on your smartphone, Kurt?
That's right. Good point.
All right, putting Maxwell Smart to shame, huh?
Ooh, baby.
Just saying. All right, anyway, fascinating though, Kurt. Are you comfortable with a driverless Uber vehicle, Kurt?
You know, I would probably prefer that to not be one of the first, but, you know, the thing is, Uber is not some little, you know, company that hardly has any dollars behind them. They want to make things and do things right. They've got billions now, as far as I know, and they, you know, are pretty serious about it. They don't want the bad press that would come from, you know, something that doesn't work. In this case, they're saying that these cars would be supervised by a human in the driver's seat. You know, I mean, in many ways, that's kind of, I mean, sort of the way some of us drive anyway. We've got cruise control, you've got, you know, and I've never used it, but I've heard of cars where they've got like, you got your cameras and your different sensors that show you, hey, when you're too close to something. And so it doesn't seem that much of a stretch now to get there. To, you know, this whole driving, self-driving vehicle, does it? Do you?
No.
You know.
So there you have it. All I'm telling you is I would prefer humanoids. Number one, I like to talk to people a little bit, Kurt. Number two, a lot of times these people have knowledge of the area. You and I were on a trip. We went to Cleveland, Ohio for the Republican convention. We had an Uber driver taking us around. Just a phenomenal lady. Did a great job. And one of the things that I really liked is the discussions that we had to and from our locations, Kurt. We had the same Uber driver every time. And that's a long, wonderful story. But I bring this up to say we learned so much about the area, Kurt. So much about the best ways to get places. So much about the history of things. So much about, you're not going to get that from some just autonomous driverless vehicle, Kurt.
It's a great point, Sam.
And I know it could supposedly be cheaper if the big corporations don't take over.
Yes.
If they do, then they'll sure that it's a little bit more expensive.
Yeah, and then somebody will break out. There'll be another Orville and Wilbur. And,
yeah, exactly, you know, the point. And, yes, I agree with that, 1,000.
Yeah.
And by the way, as there should be. Let's be very clear.
Yeah, and the key thing we've got to do with government, is make sure that we try hard to not get in the way of those things. Because typically the thing that holds things back from improvements and that kind of thing is, you know, basically too much government, Sam.
Right.
Yeah, we've seen it time after time. Yeah.
All I'm telling you is, we need more of that, Kurt. And that's what the mainstream press, the big media, along with big business, globalists, government, none of these people understand these simple principles, Kurt.
Well, yeah. I mean, because they bought into the whole idea that says, hey, man, you've got to have, you know, massive company and massive government and, you know, and all this. So that you can have your cake and eat it too. You know, you can have a, you know, stability and, you know, you can make sure you have a pension and all that kind of stuff. But I'll tell you what, the richest guys in the world, at least, you know, richest people in the world, none of them, as far as I know, were on any government pensions, Sam.
Well, of course not, because once you get on a government pension, you just sit around all complacent.
Yeah.
Right? By the way, Simon Sinek is the author of Start With Why, the book I told you about. But they continually talk about the purposes for business and the why and the what and the how. And they talk about Apple Inc. a lot. They talk about this Wright Brothers example and story that I gave you. It's an incredible book, Kurt.
But it's only for those who, you know, want to really know. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
It's not for those who just run around and think they know everything. See, it's fascinating to me. Most of these authors of these books rambled around and couldn't do anything. And couldn't. They're like, why is everybody awesome but me? Until they realized a few things about themselves, Kurt.
Yeah. And they, you know, basically they agreed to learn. And,
yeah.
You know, that kind
And they
of
also rejected the status quo every time, Kurt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good point. You know, there's a story that I'm thinking fits really close right now. There's a headline that
says,
I like
those stories.
Forget self-driving cars. How about a self-flying taxi? And it says, CNET.com's got the piece, says Airbus wants to begin testing a prototype vehicle by next year, but there's a small snag.
That's government and all the regulations. You'll never, ever get it done. Bury the idea, see? That's what we're
Good
talking
point.
About.
Yeah, that's right. Let's see. Anyway, this is the aerospace giant. Airbus is not some little, you know, kind of startup.
But Kurt, this is going to be like the opposite of the Wright brothers, though. They're going to talk about it. They're going to get big funding. They're going to assemble all the experts, and they're going to absolutely fail. And then some young buck, who knows who, will bust it out and get it done. And pretty soon they'll be like, we want to take over that company.
Well, yeah.
Right?
That's the key point here. You know, the funny thing about this story is it's barely above the Cisco story. You know, the Cisco to lay off 5,500 story that you talked about. So here's what, you know, of course, Airbus being a big, big company, they've already got a lot of money invested in the whole government system. You know, they sell contracts and all that kind of stuff. So then they'll, you know, be held back by the technology or by the regulations that they already kind of, you know, support. And yet, like you said, somebody there, maybe a Cisco guy or maybe somebody else, will say, hey man, I'm not gonna, you know, just settle for this. I'm gonna move this thing, you know, in high gear, and we're gonna be flying taxis.
Sometimes people are a little too ahead of themselves too. They've been talking about flying cars for quite some time, Kurt.
Yes, they have.
It's kind of like the video phone, you know?
Yeah.
But you got them now.
Yes,
people
do
it all the time. It's called FaceTime. Just saying. Thanks for being alongside for the ride. News the networks refuse to use. 1 hour in the can. Second hour coming up. LibertyRoundtable.com. LibertyNewsRadio.com. LibertyNewsDaily.com. This nation shall endure.